I'm CJ.
And this is Harry Potter Movie Minutes,
the podcast where two friends break down the movies of the Wizarding World in excruciating detail and obnoxious commentary.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, we're good.
We got it. We're doing things now.
Your singing always makes me happy.
Yeah. So as we were discussing before we started recording, Papa's voice is all over the place today. So y'all are going to get the full range of Screaming Banshee and Sultry Seductress.
And God, the voice of God.
And apparently also God.
That's what it initially sounded like to me.
Hello.
I didn't do it.
That actually was giving me, that moment right there was giving me Law and Order, Special Victims Unit.
These crimes have been
these crimes have been committed. Like, what? Oh my God! What is it? What is it? Oh my God! Oh, now I want to. I need the actual text.
I kind of want to hear your voice do this, just like when you were Phoebe with the sexy phlegm.
In the criminal justice system, sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous. In New York City, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad known as the Special Victims Unit. These are their stories.
I almost spit out my Red Bull.
Who knew I could do that?
Wow. I've been telling you for a while, I think you should do voiceover work.
One day. It's a hard industry.
No, and sometimes people are really hiring for audiobook readers. All right, let's get into this episode.
All right, let's do it. So this segment begins just after Harry learns about his wand being broken and the escape from Godric's Hollow. Darkness has fallen, and Harry's posted outside the tent. He's keeping watch, not really sure what he's keeping watch for. The whole, like, this always confused me a little bit in the books, too, the whole, like, keeping watch thing. Like, yeah, I guess you do kind of want to know if anyone's around, but also, like, you're incredibly well hidden, and you know that your shit works.
They don't mention it in the movie, but they have a sneakoscope in the book that they always have posted it on their table.
Oh my God, that's right, yeah.
So that can alert them. I'm like, oh. Yeah, so why are you outside? Like, it's cold.
Why are you outside? And like, it's cold. Yeah. And there are only two of you, so are you doing like 12-hour shifts?
I just have like a peephole.
Who's got the overnight?
Yeah, it feels weird. Is he even reading that book? I don't think he is. The one that Hermione was reading? Maybe he was.
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
Out of the mist, we hear a disembodied voice whisper, "Trust me."
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
Oh, I completely missed it.
To be fair, it's only through, like, I only caught it through the subtitles.
Seriously?
And it's only through the courtesy of the subtitles that we know the voice belongs to Dumbledore.
Are you kidding me?
I'm totally serious. Go back.
I'm going to.
Though whether it's happening, like, inside Harry's head or by way of some other mystical force, we'll never know.
Well, we had fucking Voldemort talking inside his head too, so who
yeah,
knows?
Yeah, exactly. He hears dead people. Harry pulls out this fucking mirror segment that I'm not even going to like deign with acknowledgement anymore. We've talked about it. It's over. We're done. But the more I see this fucking thing, the more pissed off I get. I'm sorry. I'm coming in hot. Mm-hmm. Here we are. How did I never realize that it's just never explained?
No. Like they don't bother.
In no way. How fucking idiotic. Like,
well, in what other movie would you just have something that's like magical and they just don't ever talk about it? Like, say you're in just like a regular like drama movie and somebody just has a thing that they look at and it helps them guide them through the movie. But we never talk about what it is. You'd be really confused. Like,
just no fucking explanation. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, he's looking into this mirror. We can see like part of a window. Mm-hmm. And like what looks like an empty room, maybe. I don't know. It's really unclear what it's supposed to be. It's just a little flash.
I think it's just showing us that images inside the mirror change. So
right.
It's not just a mirror.
That it's not. Exactly. Maybe he finally realized it's useless because he chucks it aside. There's like an unclear amount of time that maybe passes here. Like, I don't know if it's immediately after he chucks the mirror aside that this next thing happens, because he kind of, the way he moves, it's almost like he like woke up, like he had dozed off or something. You get kind of like a And like he perks his head up really quickly. And I'm not sure if he's just like moving, adjusting, or if he was supposed to be waking up. Not really sure. Mm-hmm. So if he like fell asleep, then this could be, I don't know, X amount of time later. So this bluish white orb appears in front of him, and he watches it as it grows, and it takes the form of a doe, and we're able to recognize it as a Patronus, a fucking corporeal Patronus.
Seriously, my first notice, your corporeal Patronus, just a smiley face, because you finally
times
got one.
Are a changin'. I can't believe it. The doe turns and walks away, and Harry does not even hesitate for a moment. He just follows it blindly into the woods. Like, just gets up and goes after it. Like,
fully trust.
Sir, what?
Yeah.
Great.
Again, you're keeping watch for mystery reasons, but well, let's just wander off in the woods. Just like I said, Hermione, too, when she was like, well, I'm supposed to be keeping watch, but I'm just going to wander into the woods by myself at night. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
No.
Great. Great. You guys are killing this. You're doing such a good job, sweetie. Anyway, a short way on, they come to a frozen pond. The doe stops in the center and shrinks back into an orb. That was fun while it lasted. Harry makes his way sheepishly onto the ice, and as he nears it, the orb sinks through the ice and vanishes.
Yeah, so I did like that part, I guess, kind of, that it still like was guiding him to it, but I thought the same thing. I'm like, we can't just be a stag that like walks over to it and then disappears. We have to be, nope, back to a ball. Like,
back to a ball.
We have so much money. Why can't we just keep
We have so much, so much money.
Boy.
Yikes.
Also, I said, why are you walking on that ice, boy? Like, you don't know how thick that is. You're not from the Midwest. You don't know. Like, I'm from the Midwest. I wouldn't trust ice. I'm just like,
oh, I would not be walking on ice on a pond. No, absolutely not.
Nope.
Especially, like, there was no snow on the ground. There was no indication that it was cold enough for it to be, like, you can walk comfortably on an inch of ice, but...
But it's not below freezing temps. He's outside without a real, you know, like right. If he's below
he's
freezing, he'd be
a sweater.
Lot more bundled. Yeah. No, sir. Don't be walking on this ice. You don't know it. You don't know it. But anyway.
Harry approaches the spot and the light from his wand tip. Oh, yeah. He lit his wand before he walked onto the ice. Illuminates the pond below the ice. And through it, he can see a sword on the bottom of the pond below. And it's the Sword of Gryffindor. Oh my god.
How quickly he trusts it? I'm like, I'd be skeptical.
Exactly. Also no skepticism here. Just going with it. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Moving along.
He attempts to summon it, but we knew that that would be way too easy. So he uses his wand to break a hole in the ice, strips down to his knickers, keeping the locket around his neck. He gingerly approaches the hole in the ice, sets down his wand, and slowly lowers himself into the water.
I'm just like, no, polar plunge it. Go.
I was just going to say, did you ever do the polar plunge?
I never did. I was good on that. I'm set. I know what cold
water
feels like.
I also did not do it, but it seems like he would have been better served by just going for it. Like the idea that you would slowly lower into apparently freezing cold water.
Pure torture.
Also, I just watched Titanic last night, so I'm thinking a lot about that.
And it's so funny, I have a note about Titanic, just that, like, once he's under the water, my mom pointed this out when I was a kid when we watched Titanic. She goes, I love in movies how clear water always is. I'm like, that's a great fucking point. Like, this is a muddy-ass little pond in the middle of the woods, and it's, see right through that water. And same thing in Titanic, it just looks like pool water coming in.
It's beautiful, like, crystal clear water that's coming out of that ship the entire time.
Yeah, all good. All good. Perfect.
Don't tell me about climate change. Anyway, so under the surface, the pond also looks a lot like larger and much deeper.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Harry reminds us immediately that he is not a swimmer. If we wanted to flash back to the second challenge of the fourth book. He looks real awkward. It's delightful. He nearly reaches the sword and he is pulled upward by what looks like some invisible force we don't really know, especially like right away.
Right.
We see him struggling, but because of the Blair Witch camera work, it really takes a minute to notice that it's the locket that's pulling him away from the sword.
Yes.
And in the book, I feel like it even like has something about like the locket sensing the sword's proximity.
When he first sees it, yeah, it's something like it starts to even actually physically twitch off of his, it like makes his sweater move because it
yeah, doesn't it like get burned onto his chest? At yeah. what point does it get burned onto his chest? I don't think it's here.
No, it's when they got blown out of Godric's Hollow. Hermione says when he was out, she had to sever it off of his chest.
Yes, yes, you're right.
This fucking pocket. Out to kill him. I feel like it's always, again, it's the ring from Lord of the Rings. It's got it's got a few yes. things, few purposes.
Yeah, he fights against it. He's first trying to loosen its grip on his neck, and then he's like desperately trying to break through the layer of ice above him so that he can breathe. Breathing is cool. Through the ice above him, we can see like a dark figure approach him and then like descend into the pool next to him. I don't know. It all becomes like slow motion. We see a mass of bubbles, and a hand closes around the hilt of the sword. And then we're treated to a little Harry Potter point of view, blurry vision as he slash we are dragged back onto the surface of the ice and over to the side of the pool. This is also a little silly in the way that it's done because like, I think that this was interesting camera work. I think it's also just a weird choice to throw it in there out of nowhere. Like,
yeah,
we've literally never done something like this in six and a half movies, but suddenly we're gonna.
Yeah, I have some notes on the camera work in a couple episodes, I believe. I have some notes coming up in this movie about the camera work. I feel like we were just discovering some new things we could try. So we're doing them. I'm like, eh. Like, we've already done the iris transition, too, with the guy, you know, with a, was it Grindelwald? No, Gregorovitch's memories. Like, when we went into his iris.
Yeah.
And created. So I think we're having fun. But that's just it.
We're having fun.
You have so much money to do these effects. Make a corporeal patrol. Like, it's just not that hard.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. This was building to a reveal. So I get that. That's cool. Like, okay. His vision is blurred until he gets his glasses on. And that's also a moment of suspense for us. Like, we're experiencing it as he would, which I guess, sure. Wow, thank you for encapsulating what point of view means. But it's something. It's a thing that happened, that we watched. As he's putting on his glasses, and his slash our vision is restored. He actually calls out Hermione's name, only to be surprised when Ronald Weasley comes into focus.
Yay.
Hot take. Uh-oh. I'm going to say something controversial yet brave. Ron is far too calm here. In fact, you know what? They both are far too calm.
Oh my
calm
God.
Here.
They're like, both too calm. Yes.
They are sort of
like, you should both be fucking freezing and freaked out.
And freaking the fuck out. Like, yeah. They sort of carry on like nothing miraculous just happened. She's like, oh, it was you? Yeah. And the Patronus? No. You? No. Okay. Y'all, can we get something? Like, we're just led into the forest by an unidentified Patronus, found the fucking sword of Gryffindor, nearly died trying to retrieve it, and then your friend who recently abandoned you turned up and saved your fucking life. Any one of those singular incidents is enough cause for like a complete fucking meltdown.
Yeah.
And y'all are out here just like talking about the weather.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I was like, not to mention just the adrenaline pumping through your body. You wouldn't be able to speak clearly.
I don't know. Like, I'm not blaming Daniel and Rupert for that because that's a directing choice.
Yeah.
To like and not have your actors go anywhere. It's just like, what was that? Like, they were reading words off a page. That's all. There was nothing there.
It's like an hour had passed and they've calmed down. No, it literally just happened. Like, no,
you should
no,
be freaking out.
Yeah.
Anyway, once again, an unclear amount of time passes. Harry is telling Ron that he is the one that has to destroy the Horcrux. Okay. Ron protests, saying it affects him more than Harry and Hermione, but Harry's like, that's why, dude. That's why it's got to be you. y'all are still too chill. Like,
Well, there should at least be that excitement of, hey, we're about to finally destroy one of the things that we've been looking for.
This thing that we've literally dedicated our lives to. We've abandoned everything we know and love to go on this quest. We're like approaching a huge milestone in it. And we're just like, no, it should be you.
Well, in the book, at least it says Harry kind of realizes how to do it, like kind of the last moment, like realizes that he needs to speak Parseltongue and that it needs to be Ron that does it. Fine, but like they don't show us any of that in the movie. It's just all of a sudden Harry knows everything.
Yeah, it's kind of a miraculous epiphany.
Yeah.
I think that it's clever. I wish that they had worked it in a little more carefully. Even in the book, they sort of explain it away with like his recent encounter with Nagini. Is how he realizes that's how he needed to do it. Whatever. I'm glad that they did it that way. I'm glad that they included it. I wish that it had been used a little bit more elegantly. They lay the Horcrux out on a log and Ron readies himself with the sword. I think he's holding it over his head. And Harry starts hissing away. The locket opens and an explosion of black smoky shit comes out.
I said that. I go, I'm sorry. How did I forget about black lava blood effect? Like, I'd forgotten that this is how it opens. It's like...
Yeah. Also, it's the only one that really does this.
Right. I was like, I feel like when they stab the... Or when the diadem later gets in the fire, like, it does kind of a melty lava effect like this. But also, why... I don't know. This felt like a lot.
And it had to be... I'm not like mad at it. It's giving me like slightly more gaseous venom from Spider-Man.
Oh boy. Yeah. Or Venom.
Anyway.
The movie.
Yeah. Very that.
That goopy kind of effect. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
I also forgot about the spiders. So,
yeah. I was just going to say that's an interesting addition. Like just feeding into all of his fears. Like we know that that's Ron's biggest fear is spiders. Great.
I missed that detail until this time. I'm like, oh my God, that's right. He said, I've seen your fears. I'm like, oh shit, he knows. Oh damn.
I've seen your heart. Yeah. They are both knocked down and the Horcrux monologue begins telling Ron what a piece of shit he is. He begins seeing things. Unclear if Harry can also see them.
Okay.
There are like... spiders, as you said, and then there are some like Cullen versions of Harry and Hermione.
There's that, and then I have a comment about that, and then there's also like I didn't notice until this viewing when Voldemort Locket is talking to Ron, there's a high-pitched like ringing noise when you flash over to Harry, so I'm like, oh, I don't think Harry can hear what's being said. I think he can maybe
right,
see
it's
it.
Almost like, is it existing in this?
Is it just for Ron's vision? I'm like, oh yeah. God, like what a sick effect. Oh, he's sick. Like, so he's going to drive Ron mad and Harry's not going to know why. But then, I said, why do they look like Tin Men? Harry looks like the Tin Man.
Like they're very ethereal. I think they were going for.
They're supposed to be like beautiful, but creepy, which they are.
They are.
I just felt it an odd choice because I feel like in the book they just said that they were like extremely beautiful or whatever. I'm like, right. So, and we could have done that with, I don't know why we needed the silver effect.
It was, once again, it was a choice that happened. a choice that was made. So the real Harry is shouting at Ron not to listen. But Cullen, Harry, and Hermione also start telling him what a piece of shit he is. Ron watches in horror as Cullen, Harry, and Hermione begin making out. I know we make a lot of commentary about teenagers making out on this podcast, but wow, this actually might be the most awkward one yet. Like, I'm pretty sure that one of them, or both of them, even said in an interview that it was like kissing a sibling.
Yeah.
And like, honey, it looks like it. That you look icky. Uncomfortable.
I felt
yeah.
Icky.
Oh yeah, I felt disgusting.
I was with Ron. I'm watching in horror. I do not enjoy.
Likewise.
No.
Likewise, absolutely. Thankfully, Ron pulls himself together. He puts us all out of our misery. He charges forward with the sword and smacks the shit out of the locket. The cloud of misery dissipates and the locket is left shattered. The two boys sit for a moment in like post-coitus and collect themselves. And Ron says, Just think, only three to go.
Again,
still too chill, people.
I'm still too fucking chill. Something wildly extraordinary just happened. You were just literally mentally tortured. Like, you're just good. And I go, and damn, that's a good combo we missed right after this happens. They have a good combo where he's shaking and crying, and Harry realizes that he's crying and tells him, he's like, she cried every night after you left. Like, and she's my sister. Like, I look at her like a sister. I thought you knew that. And then they just, like, I think they just hug and go back to the tent. I'm like, right, that would have been a cool moment. Show any sort of humanity. Nope, just a fun little quip. More to go, mate. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out. You know what? Leave. Leave again.
We just don't let anything land. Like, we don't let, like, these moments land that should be what we're building up to. Nah, just keep going. I'm like, anyway.
So, it's not really clear what they did next, but some amount of time later, that's my theme song today, apparently. Some amount of time later, dawn is breaking, and Harry arrives back at camp, calling out to Hermione. She rushes outside to ask if everything's all right. Has she realized that he's gone? Like,
she's sleeping pretty good when they start calling.
She's sleeping.
For her. Yeah. No, probably not.
Like, you didn't get up and, like, take him some tea? Like, nothing? Okay. Right. That's fine. So Harry sort of nonchalantly motions to Ron. And we finally have someone react appropriately as she charges at him and, like, smacks him a few times.
Yes.
But I have to be honest, I don't even think she is big enough in this moment.
Okay, that's, like, my note. I said she's not angry enough for me.
Right. In the book, Harry literally has to cast a protection charm between them to keep her from beating the shit out of Ron.
Yeah. They said he's, like, never seen her that crazed before. And she's just kind of real upset here. I'm like, well,
I mean, to give them credit, Harry does, like, play the keep away with her wand thing, preventing her from inflicting any real damage.
Yeah.
But it just feels so, like,
it's still too tame.
Like, she gets over it way too quickly for someone who cried every night.
Correct.
Know?
Yep.
She notices the broken locket and the sword of Gryffindor, and they're just like, yeah, it's a long story. Fucking tell the story. We've got time, assholes.
My only other note is Ron and Harry are better people than me. I would be rushing inside to get warm. Look, we'll tell you inside. Like, I'm fucking freezing. I was just in a freezing cold water walking through this freezing cold forest. Like, I would like to be by heat now.
Yeah.
Inside.
It's this whole chunk is really just like, okay.
Nothing's really happening, but things are happening.
You wouldn't know it from the actors. You wouldn't know that things were happening.
Correct. Here we go.
Hermione is still pissed, but Ron explains how he wanted to come back as soon as he left, but he didn't know how. Oh boy. He goes on to explain that it was the Deluminator that Dumbledore left him that helped him find his way back. He had heard Hermione's voice coming out of it, and when he clicked it, a little ball of light appeared, and it went into his chest, and it told him where he needed to go. Dumbledore brought them back together!
Yes.
Kind of like. This is a cute little moment. It's a cute little moment.
It is. It's fine.
It's a cheesy little story.
Yes. But it's the most sincere Rupert, we get to see him.
Right. Rupert, I think it's a nice moment for him where he's not. I mean, he's still, oh God, he is still just the development guy, isn't he? He's just telling us what happened. That's his role here.
Always.
But it is still like it gets to be a nice little moment for him. So we love that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. That's where we're done. That's all this week.
Yep.
I have a couple questions for you.
Please.
What are you going to throw aside like a shard of a mirror and cut from this chunk?
Boy. What I would get rid of, honestly, I said I would lose the Tin Man makeup from the makeup scene.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like that didn't need to have, like, how about even just like a soft yellow glow of, like, they just look really pretty because they're soft and warm and whatever, like, the silver made them look evil. Like, you had the opposite effect.
It does give him a little evil vibe. It gives me sort of like mythic being vibes.
Right. Like, so why would you think that these are your actually representations of your friends?
Right. They don't look and is real. He like, are do they look like that because in this alternate reality where he's being tortured, like they are this pedestal, they are this like apex example of humanity or wizardry? Interesting.
Yeah. No, I don't like it. I want it gone. What would you cast aside and cut like this stupid fucking mirror?
The overarching theme in this chunk of just like, like y'all give me an appropriate reaction. Like
they're just way too chill. Yeah.
Things are happening here.
We have Harry throughout this movie having like very weird reactions to people talking to him, which we'll cover. But like, so he's giving more in those moments where he's just being spoken to than this kind of important conversation they're about to have. Like, no?
Yeah.
Nothing? We'll talk about it later, but he like has a scene where somebody's talking to him and he's shaking while they're talking. I'm like, see, you're giving more in that than... Anyway, I'm with you on that.
I'm so perplexed at what you're talking about. We'll get there one day. What are you going to keep like a little ball of light in your chest?
Something I did think was done well, actually, was the underwater terror of that locket choking the fuck out of him, and he's slapping up against the ice underneath it. I'm like, oh god, that's
yeah. We do get
terrifying.
Some like real urgency there. Yeah, I agree.
No, that was well done and too well done. Don't need that added to my nightmare files. But have enough of a vivid imagination. Didn't need that.
Right.
Scene.
Yeah.
But it was good. I thought that was well done. That panic. Would you keep like a ball of light into your chest?
I'm gonna keep my corporeal Patronus, even if it was only for like 47 seconds. I don't know. I should have clocked it.
At least you finally got it.
Because it's like maybe the most common charm used in the book.
Yeah. It's used to send messages. Like that's how commonplace it is. It's their version
and
of a text message.
We get an actual corporeal Patronus, I think, twice. Not even in fucking...
Even five, wasn't it? Oh, I think five, we did get it for a hot second.
Five?
Or was it just a ball of light?
I was thinking five and here, because we don't actually get one in...
In three, we do.
Prisoner of Azkaban.
We do for a hot second when it's greeting him at the edge of the pond. After he saves Sirius and him from the Dementors. It like saunters up to him. Or am I just thinking of the book?
That's what happens in the book. That doesn't happen in the movie.
Oh, shit. Well, I tried to defend it. I give up. I tried. There's no excuse for you. You had so much money. You had so much money. Anyway, on that note.
So much money.
We will be following the rest of these movies. We only got one left after this. And we got a few more episodes this season. So follow us next week. For more, follow us where you get your podcasts and rate and review us and follow us on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram. And I will see your pretty little face next week.
I'll be here. Love you. See you. Bye.
Bye. Side note real quick. Can you hear my heat running?
That's what it is.
God damn it. I wondered. And it takes like a while, so I kept hearing the click, clunk, clunk, clunk. As it's like building up, I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'll mute myself. It's fine.
Coffee does not taste good today. I don't know what the matter with it.
Oh boy, it's tequila. You forgot water.
Do you ever have those mornings where it's just like my coffee tastes wrong?